Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, the 13th day of September, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and this is one of those days where a lot of folks would say the big story is one that arguably falls in the category of better late than never, even though the waste stream still wants to try to ignore it, or better still, undermine it. I'm talking, of course, about the belated, is it finally happening? Maybe we'll see it, attempt to impeach the Biden Fuhrer, who probably, by the time the Senate ever gets around to having some kind of a so-called trial, won't even be cognizant of what's going on, and he'll have to get up frequently to have his diaper changed anyway. That's how far gone this is, folks. Still, though, even better late than never might be wrong at this point. Because really, who are we kidding? The guy is senile. He should have been removed a long time ago under at least the 25th Amendment, because literally everybody who isn't yet senile recognizes that he's better suited to a nursing home than the oval orifice. And you know what? I intended to start off with another story that I think better introduces the real theme today, but I guess I need to go with this one since I've pretty well already introduced it. Rhino Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy is going to do what he should have done on day one after the Republican majority there caved, relented, and let him be Speaker to begin with. McCarthy announced an official impeachment inquiry on Tuesday over allegations, good grief, over what? Demonstrated evidence that's not only been years coming, but it's literally an avalanche at this point, of corruption and involvement in crooked son Hunter's business dealings, everything from bribery to outright treason, setting off fiery reactions, says the Daily Mail's coverage, from communists. Some of them still call themselves Democrats. By the way, here's a related headline, also from the Daily Mail, that's almost funny when you think about it. The White Whorehouse, and they didn't spell it right on Tuesday, ripped Speaker Kevin McCarthy for, as they put it, flip-flopping on his impeachment stance. Yeah, we had him bought and paid for. What the heck happened? And they insisted that House Republicans have no evidence of wrongdoing. Yeah, the FBI told us they deep-sixed all of it, just like they did Hillary's evidence. We know they won't let you have the laptop. Quote, House Republicans have been investigating the president, sick, for 9 months, and they've turned up no evidence of wrongdoing. Unquote. No, folks, they've turned up volumes of evidence of outright treason and high crimes and misdemeanors that put to shame the entire concept of an impeachment investigation. This should have been a done deal before they ever allowed this guy to set foot in the same room as a Bible. The Congress and the lying fake news press knew all about it before they even finished rigging the election. This story says Washington was stunned, I tell you, that it would ever actually happen when McCarthy officially opened an impeachment inquiry into Biden in a shocking statement accusing the fake President Biden Fuhrer of, quote, an abuse of power and being involved in a culture of corruption over son Hunter's foreign business deals. And even that hardly begins to tell the story of this literally traitorous crime family and all of the evil that they've known about and covered up for years at this point. But this at least sounds a bit familiar. Ian Sams, special assistant to the Fuhrer und special senior advisor to the White House counsel's office, penned a letter to both conservative and liberal-leaning outlets, in other words, all of the fake news media, both wings of the same evil bird of non-coverage, slated to be distributed on Wednesday in an apparent attempt to, oh, I hope you're sitting down, influence their coverage. They've done it before. Why can't they keep doing it? Among outlets targeted, and I like that word in this context, are CNN, the New York Times, the Associated Press, and Faux News. Said Sams, quote, it's time for the media to ramp up its scrutiny of House Republicans for opening an impeachment inquiry based on lies, unquote. They obviously still believe they own that press. And he said, this inquiry should set off alarm bells for news organizations. Yep, we know where you live, and we have your number, right? Jonathan Matthew Keyes tweeted, this is not okay. The White House should not be encouraging, influencing, or interfering in the editorial strategies of America's newsrooms, including CNN and the New York Times, unquote. And come on, what rock did he crawl out from under? Oh, and by the way, I think this is funny. The Daily Mail actually followed up with a headline that says, how Joe Biden could become the first U.S. president actually removed from office. And you'd think that would have happened a long time ago, I say yet again, as the historic impeachment inquiry begins into the corrupt business dealings with son Hunter. And that's just the beginning of the beginning, folks. But we got to ask, are you seeing a lot of smoke yet? And who knows where the fire is? Especially since they're still lying about Maui? Which brings me to the story I really wanted to kick things off with today. It comes from Laura Harris via Natural News, and it says, a report suggests that Chinese operatives are using AI-generated images to spread disinformation and provoke discussion on divisive political issues targeting America. Yep. Microsoft analysts, and right there you got to say, take this with a grain of salt, but at least, well, there's some interesting spin here. Microsoft analysts have warned that Chinese operatives are behind fake social media accounts using AI-generated images to manipulate and influence American voters, and I think primarily that means far left, but keep listening, by spreading disinformation and provoking discussion on divisive political issues. According to a detailed report from Microsoft's Digital Threat Analysis Center, DTAC, Chinese-affiliated actors have been using AI-generated visual media to craft political charged content in English while impersonating U.S. voters. Well, why not? Everybody else does, especially if they're registered Democrats, dead or alive. The campaign, which started in March 2023, and I suspect that's probably a lie too, it may have been going on since at least, 2016 or so, uses more visually appealing and sophisticated AI-generated content with high-quality images designed to go viral on to Facebook and X, the service formerly known as Twitter, in the U.S. and other so-called democratic nations. And the propaganda, they say, garnered, quote, higher levels of engagement from authentic social media users, unquote, than previous campaigns that often relied on digital drawings and stock photo collages and manual graphic design. Oh, yeah, this looks a lot more professional, or at least maybe even believable. For example, an AI-generated image of the Statue of Liberty brandishing a dreaded Booga Booga assault rifle ignited politically divisive topics like gun violence and the defamation of U.S. political figures and symbols. The fake accounts employ different tactics to appear like legitimate Americans. No, we'll just let that slide. Including setting their public locations somewhere within the United States and posting American political slogans and sharing hashtags related to domestic political issues. Said Clint Watts, general manager of DTAC, we can expect China to continue to hone this technology. Why not, folks? They've evidently been honing it for years over time and improve its accuracy, though it remains to be seen just how and when they will deploy it at scale, unquote. And come on, right there, they've tipped their hand. We know it's been a done deal for a while now. And remember, folks, this is just one part of the tip of the iceberg, not even the whole tip. They openly bought off Hollywood years ago, and they've certainly bought themselves no shortage of politicians, all the way up to and including the Oval Orifice, and lots of Congress critters. Why, just ask Eric Swalwell about Bang Bang with Fang Fang. And let's not even forget Nancy Pelosi's communist staffers. At minimum. The Natural News story, though, continues. Li Pengyu, spokesperson for the Chinese embassy in Washington, District of Criminals, denied all the allegations, which makes you pretty well sure there's more to this than a mere fire, in an email to CNN in which he said, in recent years, some Western media and think tanks have accused China of using artificial intelligence to create fake social media accounts. Well, no, they're being accused of more than that, folks. They're using lots of Chinese spies in and around the Capitol, the White House, the Senate, the Congress, and the newsrooms of most of the major so-called news media. Anyway, he said they've been accused of using artificial intelligence, no, not those other things, to create fake social media accounts to spread so-called pro-China information. Such remarks, he said, are full of prejudice and malicious speculation against China, which China firmly opposes. Unquote. The same source, though, continues to say that during the 2016 presidential election, Big Brother's official media arm claimed that Russia used socialist media platforms to create division among U.S. voters. Remember, that turned out to be a lie. Turns out it was the three other agencies, especially the so-called intelligence agencies, that were trying to rig the election at the behest of Hitler and the DNC, or was it the other way around, and use propaganda on the American people. Well, since then, says the piece, U.S. officials have warned the gullible public that China and other countries might adopt this tactic, too, in the future. And it could be true, and it probably is, folks. It's just that they're not going to tell you the full truth about it. As more proof has come out, says Natural News, showing that Communist China is trying to create disagreement and conflict in the United States. We've known that. Back in July, it says, research conducted by cybersecurity firm Mandiant proved that Shanghai Haxum Technology Company Limited, a Chinese marketing firm, was involved in organizing and promoting small-scale protests in Washington last year, and the analysis revealed that the firm used a network of more than 70 fake news websites to share pro-China content. One of the protests in question had to do with the U.S. government ban on goods produced in China. The other protest was associated with a June conference on international religious freedom. However, says the story, it appeared the protesters were unaware of their involvement in a pro-China influence campaign because they were carrying placards and chanting slogans related to racial discrimination and abortion in the United States. And I guess, folks, the left is particularly gullible in that regard. Tickle their hot buttons and they'll follow you to any communist Chinese destination. The Chinese firm also distributed videos of these protests online to amplify the reach of their influence campaign. And said Ryan Sarabian, Mandiant's senior analyst, the campaign was, quote, intended to sow discord in U.S. society. I guess, folks, if you already own the senior members of government, that's the next logical step. And does seem to be consistent with what the so-called U.S. government has been attempting to do for quite a while now. I guess the only thing we can say for sure when it comes to all the propaganda and spy versus counter-spy BS that we're seeing is there's nobody on any of these payrolls that's pushing a constitutional republic based on God-given rights and the concept that the purpose of government is to secure them. And that, your host will suggest, is yet another one of those useful tools that we ought to be able to employ to recognize that, yep, when their lips are moving, they're lying. But if they're pushing something that is counter to scripture and counter to the history that no longer is taught in the public cesspools anyway, you got a pretty good clue that it's not coming from the good guys. Which leads me now to a couple more dots we need to connect at this point. I saw a story today courtesy of LouRockwell.com written by Gary D. Barnett. He's an author that I've generally enjoyed reading for a while. Title of this one is The Government Slaughter in Lahaina, Maui Revisited. And he begins with what I would say is now pretty much undeniable. We're in the midst, he says, of a heinous crime that's so vile and evil that it should sicken all who have any remote possibility of exhibiting mental acquaintance with the truth, or compassion, or empathy. The state's attack on the people of Maui was, in my opinion, says Gary D. Barnett, premeditated, brutal, and murderous beyond explanation, as well as being targeted to achieve a preconceived agenda, which was, and I think we can agree on this point too, the total destruction of Lahaina by extreme property devastation and mass death of much of the local population. This was necessary, he continues, in the mind of the almighty state, in order to steal their land and rebuild based on the WEF and UN plan for captured cities. As evidenced by what he refers to, I would say, correctly, by the evil piece of garbage governor, Josh Green, who immediately claimed he wanted to acquire by theft all of the land that had been purposely destroyed for the state, while the smoldering embers still burned and the bodies hadn't yet, and in many cases still are not, found. On Wednesday, the 13th of September, he writes, I went to the top 10 mainstream news sites and searched all of their news stories and didn't find a single story about the Lahaina fires except one showing the slimy scumbag Biden-Fuhrer sleeping at a meeting with Maui victims, all the while offering them a mere $700 per family after they'd lost everything, including many of their family members, while, of course, illegal invaders get three times that each and every month. In other words, and here I would say he has nailed it, the story has been purposely scrubbed from view, not different from what happened after another intentional chemical fire devastated East Palestine, Ohio, and left that town and many others with incredibly deadly pollutants. Notice how that one, too, folks, has still essentially been disappeared from view. A tall black fence, he notes, and I've talked about that here, was actually built, can you believe it, around ground zero in the town of Lahaina, at taxpayer expense, of course, and a no-fly zone put overhead so that not even drones would be allowed to look down and see what they had wrought. And I'll say it again, folks, that right there is just beyond the pale. Why the hell would you put up something like that unless the intention was, well, obvious, to hide whatever it is that needs being hid behind that black curtain? There once was a term that was widely used when it came to public conduct by public officials. Even the appearance of impropriety was to be avoided. Obviously, this goes way beyond the mere appearance of impropriety. This has the appearance of mass murder. And what's insanely troubling, he continues, about the reporting, or lack thereof, concerning this horrific crime in Maui by all of the waste stream media outlets and even many of the alternative sites at this point, is that most still continue to call it a wildfire, while the evidence of any such nonsense simply does not exist. The anomalies and reactions to this so-called natural event are staggering beyond recognition, while the stench of total corruption at the highest levels pervades even the stench of the crime scene. This was, in fact, a land grab of epic proportion, but it was much worse than that, as high death counts were pursued by state thugs while they locked the residents of Lahaina inside the rings of deadly fire, likely caused by, and there's a lot of speculation on this front, folks, was it incendiary devices deployed by teams on the ground, or microwave attacks, laser attacks, in other words, things that are called directed energy weapons, and there are certainly no shortage of evidence that at least some things that indicate arson, at best, were at hand, creating fires that were strategically targeted, and the heat, in some cases, was double that possible in any wildfire. All of this was clearly evident, given the melting of not just aluminum, but steel. While the melting point of automobile windshields, and we saw a number of puddles of exactly that kind of glass, requires heat at or above 2,500 degrees. Cars were literally melted where there was no evidence of a fire in close proximity. And the scene looked eerily similar, he notes, almost exact, to what happened in New York City, you may recall this date, September 11th, 2001. All of this is not just coincidental, it seems apparent, and maybe even telling when it comes to pre-planned slaughter and mass destruction. So to call what happened in Maui a natural event is a brazen lie, almost identical, by the way, to the fires that happened in Paradise, California, fires that were targeted, burning homes to white ash without burning trees or plastic, and in areas also desired by the almighty state and its criminals for rebuilding the so-called smart cities, in an area that the new governmental masters seem to think is a great place they might like to have a country estate. In Lahaina, homes of the very rich were magically spared, while certain state buildings were as well, along with grand hotels and other areas of state favor. But the homes and families of local residents were attacked head-on, with absolutely no regard, he notes, for the lives or property of those innocent people. And the crime supposedly committed, at least as far as the state was concerned, was not bowing down and giving up those homes and lives voluntarily. So, a directed false flag action of slaughter and murder was carried out to complete the state's agenda of land theft. To hell with the people and their property seems to have been the private battle cry of these state politicians and their murderous enforcers that sometimes, at least, are still called police. No sirens were turned on, even though there were 80 active sirens on Maui. All water was turned off, you've heard about that, so that no fires could actually be fought. Wi-Fi, other communications were turned off, as was almost all electric power. Oh yeah, well at least they've got a convenient excuse for that one. Meanwhile, roads out were closed and police roadblocks were manned to forcibly keep all the residents inside the fire perimeter, causing purposeful mass death, says Barnett. While schools were shut down so that children could be home alone when they were burned alive, almost always without any help from the state actors that seem to have wanted them that way anyway. Unless, as other stories are indicating, a few of them may have been spirited out for the likes of the Hunter Biden crowd and others who like, well, you know, little children and all that can be done with them. Oh, good grief, folks. This is disgusting beyond words even to think about. I understand why people recoil, but the point is, if we don't begin to take a look at what's going on, we can expect to see more of this. And that, of course, is Gary D. Barnett's point as well. The real numbers of deaths, he says, are still being hidden, as far as I can tell. And I think he's right, folks. I've looked. You have not seen those numbers increase to the multiple thousands that almost certainly, in fact, are now dead. In addition, before and after the fire, speculators attempted to buy these properties while the bodies were still unfound. And government announced its intentions to buy up the land. None of these, he says, are coincidences, but the state and its complicit media would like to have you believe that all of these and many, many other things that would seem otherwise impossible are merely coincidental. But how could anybody with two brain cells to rub together buy into the propagandized narratives that are being presented now by the evil state? Now, I'll add one more thing. I've lamented this before. Part of the problem is, and it works well if you want to steal elections, I can't help but think, people simply don't have any understanding of elementary statistics. In other words, they can't tell the difference between unlikely, incredibly unlikely, and statistically impossible. Three sigma events happen every day, while six sigma events or 20 sigma events that literally shouldn't happen at all in our lifetimes seem to be more and more regular occurrences, and most people simply don't even have a clue what that means. And this is how Barnett himself puts it. I fully realize, especially considering the nearly complete lack of any ability to think critically by the masses, what I'm presenting here will be ignored by a very large swath of the population. The long-term dumbing down of individuals, and now the digitally manipulated population, has embraced indifference to such an extent as to have escaped all reality. In fact, common sense, logic, and reason appear to be nearly non-existent, generally speaking. And I will suggest, folks, it has been cultivated to be that way. With the result, he says, that it's much easier for the collective herd to believe the state narratives than do any work necessary to ferret out the actual truth. Unfortunately, the ruling class understands this, and the fact that the weak and apathetic traits that they have now hybridized into the masses seem to have captured the very large percentage of dead men walking amongst us. How much more obvious corruption, lies, and murder at the hands of the almighty state will have to take place before any majority ever comes to terms with the reality that this world is ending in favor of mass slavery and depopulation? Well, I'll note, folks, that it will never be a majority until at least it's way, way too late for them to even survive. The Bible, of course, says it's a remnant, and not much more than that. The forced annexation, he notes, of Hawaii, the staged Pearl Harbor attack, the World Wars, Operation Northwoods, MK Ultra, the Cuban Missile Crisis, the assassination of JFK, Operation Gladio, U.S. aggression and invasion after invasion, Desert Storm, 9/11, the Patriot Act, the War of Terror, the fake COVID pandemic, bogus man-made global warming that became climate change, intentional chemical spills, again, think East Palestine, Ohio, but train derailments and major fires have gotten almost commonplace at this point, and geoengineering of first weather and then climate. All of these are just a few of the major false flag events and government terror operations that have taken place. But now we're seeing deliberately set fires in Canada, all over the United States, Hawaii, Australia, Turkey, Greece, China, and many other areas, while the sheep continue to hide their proverbial heads in the sand. Everything, he says, that's happening is planned and being done intentionally in order to achieve a particular agenda. Now, at this point, I will note, your host has a bit of trouble with the word every, and my caution is that eventually we get to a point, and we may in fact be there, where so many copycats are saying, hey, I like that, that's a good idea, and I bet I can get away with it, that it may not be every, but I will go along with him so far as to say we're at the point where one way or another, they've managed to get the snowball rolling downhill. Regardless, says Barnett, this has been outlined, discussed openly, warned about, written about in policy journals at places like the WEF, WHO, UN, and almost everybody else that's in the positions of power. The big picture, he notes, has been discussed for decades, and the agenda being sought is, in fact, a one-world governing order. Your host uses the term totalitarian fascist public-private partnership, where the elite rule all, know all, and control all, and the rest of us are mere slaves of the almighty state. This agenda is as clear as day, says Barnett. So why can't the lowly collective herd see that the only way they can achieve this evil goal is for the state to destroy the current system in favor of one that will allow their complete control of everyone? Each planned event, whether it's a fire, weather, war, geoengineering, bioweapons production and use, fake viruses, and every so-called emergency, all of them are staged only to create fear and panic through economic devastation, property theft, like land grabs, monetary and transaction digitalization, and, of course, mass surveillance and total censorship. So, he says, finally, no one should forget or ignore what happened and what continues to happen in Maui. Your neighborhood could be next. And just what chance do you think you'll have given advanced weapons systems that are being used against us by the military-industrial complex, paid for, of course, with what you thought were your tax dollars? And remember, even the government itself actually controls nothing. It is, in fact, a public-private partnership by politicians and all their enforcers who are fully controlled themselves and acting on orders from the real ruling class. Denounce them, abandon them, and eliminate them, he says. Give them no cover. Your host will suggest the right answer is right out of Revelation 18:4, as always. Come out of her, my people. And he closes with this quote that I've heard before and have about repeated myself, no doubt, from George Carlin, who says, I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. Nothing. Zero. Now, to that, your host has to close by adding, remember the 80-20 rule, folks. They do tend to mix a little bit of truth in, if for no other reason than to make the deception slide down just that much easier. Thanks for joining us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.